Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Hello, how you doing? And welcome to Livewire's Buy, Hold, Sell. I'm your host, Ali Selby. And in this thematic episode today, we're discussing the kryptonite of markets, inflation, which is once again dominating headlines after the RBA conceded that yes, inflation is indeed back to its target and a full 2 years earlier than expected. So to discuss how you should position your portfolios with this in mind, we're joined by Rhett Kessler from Pengana and Stuart Welsh from Alphinity. First up, let's talk about buzzwords. Last year's was definitely unprecedented. This year's probably transitory. Rhett, starting with you, what's your take on inflation? And do you feel like it could be sticking around a little bit longer than we would have thought?
Yeah, so my view is it's not if inflation will kick in, it's just how much. I know big parts of it will be transitory, but I think it's going to be quite expensive to put the inflation bug back in the box.
Stuart, over to you. Twitter founder Jack Dorsey believes that we're actually entering a hyperinflationary environment. What's the chance of that happening and what's your view on inflation?
So I sort of agree that inflation is picking up, and I think that's what we've seen in the most recent RBA statement of monetary policy. They're sort of saying that inflation is ticking up a little bit. I'm not sure it's a runaway. There are some transient components like secondhand cars and new cars, for example, which will likely subside. But there is some evidence of other elements picking up, for like things like rents, for example. So, and we are seeing a lot of companies, we get a lot of information from talking to companies, and some of the companies we talk to are saying that they're facing real input cost pressures and they are pushing it through. And so it does feel like there is more inflation around, but I don't get the sense that it's runaway inflation at this point.
Staying on you, Stuart, what does that mean for interest rates over the short and long term?
Well, I think if we just look at what's happened over the last couple of months, interest rates, particularly at the sort of the midpoint of the curve and the long end, so sort of 3 year and 10 year, have actually increased a fair bit. And I think that's really in a market that is increasingly expecting that inflation is picking up. And along with that, there's also the view probably that that some of the monetary policy and stimulus that that central bank's been pumping in is likely to get dialed back in the not too distant future as well.
Rhett, do you agree? What's your take on interest rates over the short and long term?
Yeah, I think the cost of money is going to go up, right? We've been had 30 years of ever lower interest rates. Great time to build an asset base, but it's going to be a bit harder going forward. And the reason I think the cost of money is going up is because, first of all, real rate settings all around the world are quite largely negative. I don't think that's sustainable. And so we're watching the US quite closely because Australia and the rest of the countries can't really move the interest rates up until the US moves, because otherwise the currency gets ahead of itself and, you know, gives us problems with exports. So the big thing is, what's inflation going to be like in the States? How do they react? When do they put up rates? And then I expect the rest of the world will follow.
As you mentioned there, we haven't been in this kind of inflationary environment for a good 30 years. How are you positioning your portfolio with that in mind?
Unfortunately, I grew up in an environment with a lot of stagflation and I saw how it impoverished a whole generation. So I'm pretty paranoid about inflation. I do agree with you, my peer group has limited experience on it, as do I, given it was 30 years ago. The way we're positioning it is we're looking for hard assets. So, and the definition of a hard asset, very simply, is a company that can pass through high inflation or input costs successfully with an inelasticity of demand. And we're just looking for companies like that all the time.
Stuart, same question to you. How are you positioning your portfolio in this inflationary environment?
Well, so I think firstly, it's hard to look at it just in terms of inflation. There's also, you know, what's the growth outlook for the economy, and also, you know, what evaluations of stocks look like. And then there's a lot of stock-specific stuff. So a lot of our information comes from talking to companies. And whilst there is a lot of inflation around, for example, there's a lot of companies that are actually being able to pass through higher input costs. And in fact, some of the evidence we've seen in the US, for example, is that some companies have actually been able to grow margins. And there are some companies here in Australia that are doing just that. So a company like Reliance, for example, facing input cost pressures from higher commodity prices, but they're actually being very successful in passing that through and actually improving margins. And so for us, it's really driven by the company-specific environment, the company-specifics in terms of the outlook for the business and also how they're navigating the current environment.
So pricing power is really important. Are there any other essential characteristics of the kind of companies that you'd be allocating to in this environment?
So I think in an environment where you believe that there's better economic growth and that's eating into capacity and with that comes higher inflation and interest rates, I think all else being equal, you would probably be avoiding the sort of bond proxy type stocks, the defensive stocks and some of the high growth, high PE names as well. But that's all else being equal. I think there's a lot of company specific stories here. And whilst the cycle's quite strong, it we are past peak growth. And so we've actually been, there is some maturation of the cycle, if you like. And so we're actually sort of looking at a bit more of a balanced portfolio and trying to find those stocks that can outperform on a stock specific basis. And we do even have some of those long duration high PE names in the portfolio because we do think they offer good prospects where their earnings potential is underestimated. So it's very stock specific from our point of view at this point in the cycle.
Rhett, I might touch on something Stuart just said there. What kind of companies are you avoiding in this environment?
So we're avoiding companies that have got long runways to profitability and are burning cash because they're selling a dollar for 80 cents and the valuations require a DCF where you're saying interest rates will remain low but growth rates will remain high. So there are a lot of tech stocks within that, but there are also a lot of good tech stocks. So you have to be quite selective. We also, we typically look for good businesses run by competent management at the right price. And you really need businesses. A good business for us is a business that has power over its stakeholders. And that's pricing power, as you brought up, but a lot of other power. And so companies that are weak in that situation always get squeezed in the middle. And so we're avoiding weak companies.
Okay, Rhett, I'm excited for this. We asked you to bring along one stock today that could benefit from inflationary tailwinds. What do you have for us?
Well, it's a really boring toilet paper and toothpaste type company in Medibank. And what we like about Medibank and inflation is that if you get higher interest rates, they've got a massive policyholder float and shareholders' funds that are currently earning next to nothing because they're all sitting in the bank. So if interest rates go higher, there's a really big earnings base that starts to really flex its muscles. Furthermore, they really are an arbitrage between premiums and claims. And so inflation, if they hold their margin steady, if you get inflation, they just make more money. So we're looking forward to that protecting us somewhat.
Stuart, same question to you. What stock have you brought for us today?
So it's a similar theme actually in QBE. So this is an insurer and with the sort of growth, I guess, that we're seeing in the economy, that they should benefit from higher policy growth. But on top of that, they also have a large asset portfolio, a bond portfolio that backs those claims, which should benefit from a higher running yield and contribution to earnings as interest rates lift. So that's a similar story. We also like it from a stock specific point of view. The insurance premiums are actually increasing quite rapidly at the moment. These hardening cycles don't happen very often, but can be quite good for margin when you get, assuming you can control your claims and write the right risks, you get price increase on price increase, which can be really positive for margins as well. And so it's a good environment for them. They're well managed. There's a new CEO in there, which creates some risk that there's a rebasing, but we think a large part of the hard work is done and behind them and that they should be able to benefit from some of those themes that we're talking about.
So both our fundies are really insuring their bets in this inflationary environment. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Buy, Hold, Sell. If you did, remember to give it a like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're adding new content every week.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles videos, and podcasts.